Aloha and welcome once again to the Superfly Oz podcast. I am he, Superfly Oz himself, Stan Fitchman, here giving you insider perspective. Hold on a second. Trustworthy insider perspective of what is going on around the world, across the United States, and here in my corner of the world, the McCully section of downtown Honolulu, state of Hawaii, United States of America. Welcome to the 74th episode of the Superfly Oz podcast for December 1st, 2018. I'm so glad that you're here, and thank you for tuning in. If you are interested in listening to this and other episodes of the Superfly Oz podcast, I welcome you to go to www.politicshawaii.com. PoliticsHawaii.com is where you're going to find all of the episodes going back over a year of the Superfly Oz podcast. If after listening to this and other episodes of the Superfly Oz podcast, you are interested in giving me any feedback that you would like to give, go ahead, take your email browser, punch in sjfhawaii@gmail.com into the address line, punch in something into the subject line as to what you want to talk about or tell me what's going on, and then go ahead in the body of the email, tell me how you feel about what the episode was. Give me your manao or your knowledge as to what I'm saying here. Even tell me if I'm full of it or if you really like the podcast. And if I really like your email, I'll go ahead and broadcast that on one of the future episodes of the Superfly Oz podcast. By the way, I do want to thank very much my friends once again for giving me positive and structural feedback in regard to the podcast from last week. As part of the promotion of this podcast, I went ahead and emailed to all of the legislators over at the Hawaii State Legislature and the mayor of Honolulu, as well as to the executives, Governor David Ige and Lieutenant Governor Doug Chin, the episode from last week, that would be episode number 73, in regard to swearing and the implications of that. I only got very little feedback from the legislators. I'll let you know that right now. Mike Gabbard, who's a senator out in the west side of Oahu, he did get back to me. He says he'll listen to it and he'll see what he has to say. Now, I'm not quite sure if this is a feedback, but, you know, my downloads did uptick a little bit this week and my listenership did uptick a little bit this week, but it could very well be because of all the stuff that I've been doing also on Twitter and as on Facebook. So let me give you a little bit of a programming note before we really dive into what we're going to be talking about today. And what we're going to be talking about today is comic books, and we're going to be hearing from a comic book dealer and seller. His name is Francisco Figueredo. So stand by for that in just a couple of minutes. But let me give you a couple of programming notes as to what's going on. So this last week, I went ahead and tried out changing up my Twitter address a little bit just to try and see if I could make some adjustments without having to build a brand new site for the podcast itself, because I've just decided that maybe it's time for me to get the word out about politicshawaii.com, get the word out about the Superfly Oz podcast, and really make a presence. So what I've decided to do is change up my Twitter handle from that of Stanford JF, which is what people may know of it if you are aware of my presence on Twitter, to PoliticsHI. And by the way, that address was available to me. So I went ahead and snagged that up. And I also changed up the name handle that I have on Twitter to include my name as well as the website, politicshawaii.com. And I've been starting to do a lot more structural or a lot more, I guess you could say, focused commentary on Twitter. And so what I've decided to do also, because of the fact that I'm moving more of my commentary on politics and social issues, as well as just general news in general, I've decided to go ahead and scale back a little bit on my Facebook account, which is at Stan Fitchman, to just kind of the personal stuff or maybe stuff that is going on that I do have a personal attachment to, but it's a little bit more of a personal type of site now rather than me making commentary on politics on both Twitter and on Facebook. You'll still see me on both, but I'll be having two different types of discussions on either platform. So if you're very interested in following me on Twitter, go ahead and go to PoliticsHI. PoliticsHI, and go ahead and follow me and see what I'm saying. I get into these things sometimes with some people I'm trying to have a little bit more of a moderate discussion with people on Twitter, but I've come to find out that Twitter is a little bit more sophisticated when it comes to political talk, as well as things that are going on in the world, and it's a little bit more of a better platform for me to express those ideas too. So go ahead, along with the podcast, check out my Twitter account, PoliticsHI. And again, once more, before we get into the show today, and again, we're doing an interview with Francisco Figueredo. I do want to give you a feeling about what has just happened here yesterday in the United States with the passing of the 41st president of the United States, George H.W. Bush. Now, a lot of people are very sad about the passing, and as, of course, I believe everybody in the United States is in regard to the passing of a president. It doesn't happen all that often, and when it does, it can be kind of a big deal here in the United States. However, I think that one couple of items that I did bring up on both Twitter as well as my Facebook account was the fact that George H.W. Bush rose up through the ranks. Now, as you know, he was CIA director. He also was vice president of the United States, and as well as a candidate for both vice president and president of the United States. And he was president of the United States. But one of the areas that he was also focused on was international affairs. And he was appointed by President Gerald Ford to be the first liaison or chief of mission of an American office in the People's Republic of China at the time when we did not recognize the People's Republic of China. And he was only there for a year. And there are some photos that I've posted up in regard to his presence there, especially with his bicycles at Tiananmen Square. But one of the things that I mentioned is that this was on Facebook a little bit more than it was on Twitter, was the fact that George H.W. Bush made a very positive, lasting impression to the Chinese people of American presence. And it really did lead to the ability of the United States to formally recognize the People's Republic of China in 1979. His impact may not be that big here. However, over there, it is still kind of a big deal that, you know, George H.W. Bush was the first chief of mission to the People's Republic of China. After 20 years of basically both countries not recognizing each other or even talking to each other for that matter. The point I'm trying to make here is, and this is what I said on Facebook, is the fact that some people just make a big deal being the person who does one big thing. You know, I'm kind of talking about Donald Trump here a little bit. But there are some politicians who actually rose up through the ranks. And George H.W. Bush is exactly that type of person who rose up through the ranks, who went through the steps to become more influential over time. He did things that were beneficial to the United States, and it was recognized by that by being the most supreme leader of the United States and the commander-in-chief back in 1988 to 1992. And it's important to know that whenever you have a politician like this who has actually gone up through the ranks and has made impacts, their impacts are still so positive that even upon their death, they are still seen as significant people in not only the United States and to the world. So I really wanted to just share that with you. And of course, if you want to see my comic, go to Facebook, Stan Fitchman, or go to PoliticsHI, which is my Twitter handle. So let's go right into the interview right now of today's show. Today's show, I recorded an interview with Mr. Francisco Figueredo, who is a dealer and seller of comic books here in the state of Hawaii. He's a friend of mine from a number of years ago from the political realm, but I also got to know him very well in the comic book realm. We had a long, wide-ranging discussion in regard to the impact of comic books and the comic industry, not only here in the United States, but around the world, both in the basic trade of it by collectors, as well as the sociological aspects of it. There was some discussion that we had afterward when we went to lunch, and pretty much reaffirmed what Chico said here on the interview here that you'll listen to now. So without further ado, this is Francisco Figueredo. This is the interview that Superfly Oz had with him in regard to comic books, the comic industry, and how that's impacted here in the United States and around the world. I am joined by old friend in the political realm, the comic book realm, as well as in the personal realm, Francisco Figueredo, otherwise known as Chico. Today he's going to be talking to us a little bit about the comic book realm and his experience and his expertise in regard to comic books and the comic world. As a comic book dealer and seller, as well as a person who you may see at some of the comic cons here in Hawaii that come on periodically. So go ahead and introduce yourself, Chico.
Aloha, Stan. Thank you for having me today. Really appreciate it.
So let's go and let's have a talk in regard to what you do as a comic book dealer and seller, as well as all the events that you and your friends actually put on in regard to that world.
Well, Stan, the easiest way to say is basically I allow you to buy back your childhood, and I sell funny books. Basically, I'm a collector, also dealer. I set up at some of the local comic shows here, Comic-Con Honolulu, Amazing Hawaii, and some of the other shows, the Hawaii Comic and Toy Expo and Hawaii Toy Fair. And basically, we just sell comic books, and if people are looking for a certain title, we hope to provide that to them. But basically, it's just allowing, like I said earlier, it's allows you to buy back your childhood, buying those memories and storylines that you collected as a kid, and now you want to read them all over again and have that book in your possession.
That's very interesting that you should say that, because most recently we had a passing of one of the greats in the comic book world, Stan Lee. We were talking about it a little bit before, and you had mentioned that you hadn't really met with him per se, and you really didn't have a great big chance to talk to him. But what is the impact of someone like Stan Lee's passing in the comic book world? And what is your predictions, I guess you could say, of how things will be moving along in that realm after such an iconic passing?
Well, Stan, basically Stan influenced a whole generation of people who grew up reading comic books and are basically adults today. I mean, if you kind of look at what influence Stan had, I mean, you look at all the movies, you look at all the entertainment, all the t-shirts, memorabilia, all that that's out there. That's all because of the stories that Stan wrote, along with the artists that wrote and that drew with Stan. And I think, you know, he had a profound impact on just life and culture in general. I mean, I think one of his great lines is, "With great power comes great responsibility," which is from, you know, Amazing Spider-Man. I think that, you know, is an important saying that goes on today. I mean, especially look at the way our whole world is, you know, going forward.
So he pretty much started a cultural trend, you could say, in the United States as well as around the world. And of course, that cultural trend continues in movies and, you know, development of storylines in the movies as well as in the comic books. There is, of course, some people who say that comic books are for kids. We talked about that a little bit before in regard to Bill Maher coming out with his, I think, a little bit of a crass statement in regard to that. You and I were talking about it a little bit before, but if you would be willing to share, like, how much of a cultural impact comic books have had and some of the things that they've actually come out with and shared with society. You know, to tell our audience what really how important comic books have been in development of our culture and society in America.
Yes, Dan. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, comics dealt with a lot of different issues. I mean, they dealt with alcoholism through Tony Stark and Iron Man. They also dealt with a drug issue, you know, Amazing Spider-Man, also in DC Comics and Green Arrow, Green Lantern, but also Amazing Spider-Man. You dealt with basically being a kid and growing up and being a teenager and all that responsibility that came with that issue. I mean, I think, you know, Power Entertainment, which was basically Stan Lee's group that he formed after he left Marvel, basically said it best in response to Bill Maher's commentary. And basically says, "Countless people can attest to how Stan inspired them to react, taught them that the world is not made up of absolutes and that heroes can have flaws and even villains can show humanity with their souls. He gave us X-Men, Black Panther, Spider-Man, and many other heroes and stories that offered us hope to those who felt different and bullied, while inspiring countless others to be creative and dream of great things to come."
That's some pretty powerful lines there in regard to a retort to Bill Maher's idea, but we'll leave Bill Maher to try and define why he felt the way he did in regard to comic books and stuff like that later on. So let's go back to like the local market here. Let's go back to a, like more of a local focus here. How are comic books seen here in the local market here in the state of Hawaii? What is the is it a growing market? Is it a shrinking market? Is it something that we should be looking at as more of an influence in overall events and things that are going on here in Hawaii?
I mean, I think thanks to the movies and thanks to the comic shows that we have here, I mean, comics and just more collectibles in general are, you know, on the uptrend. I mean, I think, you know, you're starting to see a lot more people starting to collect comic books, whether it's, you know, stuff from their childhood, the new stuff, even toys. You see that with a lot of the collector shows that are here now and some of the pop culture shows, Amazing Hawaiian, the Comic-Con Honolulu, and even Kawaii-Con that's been around for a long time in Hawaii that, you know, have influenced the collector's market in general. And just having that access to some of these, you know, actors, actresses, the writers and voice actors that come down, I think helps the market in general. In terms of a specific thing regarding comics, I think nowadays, not necessarily in Hawaii, but I think overall in general, people are looking at comic books as a collectible in terms of for investment value. I mean, if you look at some of the collectability of comic books, I mean, you see a lot of the bigger actors and actresses starting to collect comics as part of their overall portfolio. I mean, there are stories of Leonardo DiCaprio, Shaquille O'Neal, Nicolas Cage also had a great comic book collection, which he sold off, but I heard he's starting to get back into it again. So you can see it's not limited to just, you know, regular everyday folks, you know, like you and I, but some of the big heavy hitters, the actresses, and, you know, even some musicians are getting into that whole comic book realm as a collectible thing for them to, you know, park some of their money and just collect it in general because it's something different.
So one of those, I guess, items that people are able to touch upon in regard to comics is the Amazing Comic-Con that comes here to Hawaii ever so often. I know there was just one here, and I know that it's been growing. Can you share a little bit about how that started here in Hawaii and how it's growing in popularity?
Well, I think you had, you know, there's, I would say at least five shows in Hawaii that are deal with comics and collectibles. You know, you have Kawaii-Con, which has been here, I believe, 13 years now, which was more anime related. Then you had, you know, Hawaii Comic and Toy Expo, which was basically a small collector show that kind of featured local comic artists, but also brought in, you know, a guest or two from the mainland to kind of stoke the interest in the collector's market. Then you had, you know, Amazing Hawaii, which came down and brought, you know, their very first show in Hawaii, which was, I want to say, 4 years ago. They brought Stan Lee down and a whole bunch of other writers and artists. And that basically was a huge show. And they've continued that going forward. And you also have Comic-Con Honolulu, which is also another pop culture convention, which also brings actors, actresses, and also comic book artists and writers down so that people can, you know, enjoy and meet and greet some of these guys. And the good thing is, you know, we don't have to travel to the mainland to see them. Now they're in our backyard. I think, you know, that's always been the problem with Hawaii was, you know, for us to go see a lot of things, we have to go to the mainland to see it. But now, you know, a lot of these big groups and stuff, they're coming to Hawaii, which I think they finally realize that there is a market here in Hawaii that is viable, so they want to open up shop, even though, you know, there is some risk with doing that because we're so far away from the mainland.
So not only on Oahu, because I see a lot of those activities on Oahu, but is there a growing market over on the neighbor islands that are involved in comic books and comic shows and trade shows and stuff like that?
Yes, on Maui you have Maui Comic Con, which I believe is their third year. They just had that over the Halloween weekend, which is a great show. It kind of gives back to the community, so that Maui community has been growing in terms of collectibles and comics. Big Island, you have one comic shop, Enjoy Comics, which is run by a friend of mine, Mike Sato, who's doing a great job up there. And Kauai right now, there's nothing on the horizon, but I believe there might be some news regarding that coming out soon, but stay tuned.
So let's talk about a little bit on the international level. You know, when I was over in Hong Kong and in Taiwan, you know, the comics in regard to Avengers and some of the ones that are about the movies and stuff like that, they tend to be popular, and you do see their characters in the shops and stuff like that, you know, curio shops to be able to buy souvenirs and stuff like that. What is your understanding as to the international impact of American comics worldwide?
Oh, it's very big. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, they have also conventions out there. I mean, there's a convention in Okinawa. There's one in London. I mean, there's in the Philippines. There's one. I mean, there's a lot of, whether it's a pop culture convention or a comic book convention. I mean, they're out there, and it's not only limited to the U.S. I mean, Canada has one. I know there's one in Puerto Rico. There's one in Mexico. I mean, so comic book conventions or pop culture conventions are all over the place. I mean, it's not only limited to the U.S., but it's a growing trend, and in fact, it's, you can say it's here to stay.
What do you think the reasons why is for that? I mean, I take a look at that, and I think to myself, there's a common message that must be relayed that is touching upon different peoples in different parts of the world that is kind of like a common message, you know, like you had mentioned before about some of the sociological issues in regard to teenagers and drug addictions and stuff like that. What else do you think there may be that attracts the person who is not an American or not a Westerner per se to this type of characters and to these type of stories?
I think they can just relate to what they're reading, and they just want to experience that world, or, you know, that genre, and kind of get to meet and greet some of the people who, and, you know, artists that are writing the stories, and they get to see these people in person. I mean, I think that's the whole draw of these conventions, right, is you get to shake hands, take pictures, and say hi to, you know, that actor or actress or that writer or that artist that had an influence on you, or they touch you in some way, some form, and you want to say hi to them and get a piece of artwork or some sort of memento or memorabilia from them that they have that day.
That's very interesting. So, like you said, it's growing. Do you think that, you know, there's this feeling outside of the United States in which they say American culture or Western culture is corrupting the minds of young people around the world? And, you know, I can kind of see why. You know, if you take a look at some of the movies that come out from Hollywood, of course, Hollywood is a big deliverer of Western culture to those areas. Do you think that comics actually help in portraying much more of a, I don't know, a human type of story that transcends nations?
Yes. I mean, I guess a lot of it depends on the storyline and what's being written, but I think that's what made comics great, is that, you know, it transcends generations. It also talks about the issues that we normally as a society may not necessarily want to deal with.
So do you think that, you know, going and blending in two worlds that we belong to, which is politics and comics, do you think that the comics will ever talk about swearing and the use of profanity in public by politicians?
That I'm not sure. I do know that politicians have appeared in comic books and have been featured in there. Like President Obama was on the cover of Amazing Spider-Man, and, you know, you've had, I think, JFK in one of the comic books. I can't remember which title, but so, I mean, there are, you know, influence some way, somehow, in terms of politics.
So let's move on from subject matters to more of the personal matters. Who's your favorite character in the comic book realm?
I'd say Spider-Man.
Would you like to elaborate why?
Well, I guess because Spider-Man dealt with a lot of the things that we dealt with as a teenager. I mean, you know, just basically growing up, being bullied, how to deal with that, and just having, you know, how to deal with everyday life. I mean, falling in love, liking that girl, getting beat up, like I said, by, you know, by boys. I was picked on as a kid. I mean, so a lot of that stuff that Spider-Man dealt with, I could relate to.
So for you, it is Spider-Man. For me, I think I'm probably more in the line of I didn't really grow up with comics outside of Mad magazines, which my brother actually collected and I read through when he was in college. So for me, you know, you just see these new characters that come out. What new characters in the comic book realm, in either the Marvel or the DC world, would you like to see actually portrayed on screen that hasn't already been portrayed? Because it's like, you know, like Black Panther, for instance, got portrayed, which until I heard it on, you know, that there was a movie out called Black Panther, I really wasn't sure if there was. I didn't even know there was a character like that. So who in the comic book realm should be having that type of treatment?
Well, I think definitely one that I would love to see, and I'm sure it'll come through at some point, would be Submariner from Marvel. I mean, Aquaman is similar from that's the DC's version, but I think, you know, if knowing Marvel, they do it right, you know, the Submariner movie would definitely be one to watch. And some have also built because of the characters involved and knowing Submariner's character and his traits. Some people have said that if Marvel ever did it right, it could be like a Lord of the Rings type of thing.
So one of the characters in the comics, the Incredible Hulk, you know, they tried like three times with a movie before they tried to finally figure it out. And I, you know, just blended it with the Avengers and stuff like that. Is there any other character out there that needs to have the retreatment done on their storyline? I mean, I know they tried to do it with Superman a couple of times already, but is there anybody else? Because I think that on the counterbalance, if you take a look at what they did with Wonder Woman, finally they put out a movie on Wonder Woman. It was actually the winner of a movie because they actually put the right treatment to it. Who else needs to have that retreatment done and the treatment be right?
Oh, great question, Sam. Yes, the Wonder Woman movie was well done by DC, and that was, I think, to me, that was like DC's best movie because all the other ones haven't been great. I mean, I'm a Marvel guy, as a disclaimer. So I collected Marvel, not really DC, as a kid. So I always collected those storylines and read those books more. But definitely, I would love to see, now that Disney is buying Marvel, I mean, I'm sorry, now that Disney's buying Fox and X-Men and Fantastic Four finally coming home, back home to the house that Stan Lee built, I would love to see a Fantastic Four movie done right. I mean, Fantastic Four, basically, they're the first family of Marvel. I mean, they essentially were the first comic book, so to speak, produced by, of the Marvel titles, other than Spider-Man. Fantastic Four was the very first title that came out, and I collected Fantastic Four as a kid. That was like the very first title that I ever collected growing up. And so I'm more partial to seeing that done right, because the Fox reiterations were horrible. They're totally bad. And so I know, knowing Marvel and the way they do comics, they're definitely going to do it right. And I can't wait to see that when that comes to fruition.
So that's very interesting that you look at it that way. And what do you think? Okay, so let's go back for just a second. I was on my flight going over to China, and I did finally watch the latest Avengers movie, and I'm pretty sure you saw that too. It looks like it's a pretty dark ending to that movie there. What is your thoughts in regard to that movie and the ending of it? Because everybody just kind of sits there and says, wow, what happens now, you know? And pretty sure most of my listeners have already seen the movie, so they probably pretty much know what I'm talking about here. What's your thoughts about that?
I thought it was a good ending, but keep in mind, there's going to be an Avengers 4 movie coming out next year, so which kind of tells you that some of the characters who supposedly died are not dead, and there are some that actually did die, so we'll have to find out when Avengers 4 comes out, but knowing Marvel, knowing the comic books, there's always a surprise in store. And so those that we thought were dead, like our certain favorite heroes, may not necessarily be dead, but then there's also others that are going to be, that do find out that are dead. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I think it's going to be a good movie, and we'll finally see what they have in store for us.
So one of the questions, of course, when an icon like Stan Lee passes away is, you know, who takes over from him? Who becomes the next big person in the comic book realm that becomes kind of like the iconic drawer or storyteller or something like that? What's your feeling in regard to who that person is going to be? And basically, are we going to be seeing them here on our Plutonian shores here in Hawaii anytime soon at one of the shows?
Well, that's a great question, Sam. Wow, you're really putting me on the spot on this one. There's a lot of great writers or artists that basically could take up that mantle. I mean, and actually, opinions are going to vary depending on who you talk to, but we actually had two of them here recently. I mean, you had Roy Thomas, who was basically the editor who came in on board right after Stan left, or who took over for Stan as editor, and he was responsible for some of the bigger storylines in Marvel. He wrote Conan, some of Daredevil, a lot, X-Men, some of these other titles that he took over. But basically, he took over Marvel at a time when Stan was leaving, and helped Marvel kind of move forward, going forward with some of their storylines. So that was good. And also, the other person, I mean, is Neil Adams, who was here, Amazing Hawaii, but that show got canceled because of the Hurricane Lane, and I guess he should be coming back in February. But Neil Adams has always been one that people have mentioned as the next great person to take over. And also you got Todd McFarlane, who I personally met, a real nice guy, who also basically changed the way Spider-Man was drawn and how we perceive Spider-Man in the basically early 90s. I mean, Todd doesn't have the nickname the Todd Father for a reason. I mean, that's, you know, by his drawings, it basically helped to shape and influence Spider-Man.
Wow, that's a pretty insightful perspective. In regard to a world that not everybody, including yours truly here, actually really gets involved in inside of, you know, seeing them once in a while at a hotel and or watching one of the great movies that are out there. So is there any last thoughts from you in regard to the comic book future or the comics future? Where are we going? I mean, obviously we've taken a look in and there's influence in all of the different types of media. You know, the video games, of course, there's the movies, there's the print editions, as well as being able to see them on the computer. But where does comics go what medium do they need to get into, or where would you like to see them go in, like, say, next 10, 20 years?
I think you're starting to see that now. I mean, you're starting to see comic books being printed digitally, where you can just download or read online. A lot of the trade paperbacks and stories, you can just, you know, purchase it and read it from your computer, which I think is a good thing. But, you know, nothing beats the actual holding it in your hand like a newspaper and reading it, and just, you know, the smell of the paper, the smell of the ink, and just, you know, getting a feel of that, just writing it. It's like you're right there when you read it in person and have it in your hand. So I think, you know, for comics, and people do still want to collect that comic book, they want to have it in hand, and I think you'll see it, and it's hopefully here to stay going forward, because it was here for a while, then it kind of, there was a downturn in the whole comic or pop culture industry because the market crashed and all that stuff, because it got too heated as a, from a investment or collectible standpoint. But I think nowadays it's here to stay, and I think going forward it's great. And I encourage anybody, if you haven't been to a show, to come to a show, check it out. Just bring your family and friends down and just kind of, you know, come back and buy back your childhood, bring back some memories of when you were a kid, and just walk around and just observe and take in that whole atmosphere. I think it's something that everybody should experience.
So talking about, I guess, competition to, say, the two big guys, which is Marvel and DC, who else is out there that's actually doing this type of comic
working in this comic world here, and are they influencing as much as DC and Marvel only because of the fact that they too have really kind of cornered the market in regard to translating their comics to movies and to kind of like a more other media that people can actually relate to and better. So who else is out there?
You actually have a number of smaller publishers, but I think the biggest one that has actually given both Marvel and DC a run for the money would be Image Comics, which, as everybody knows, is the maker, the introducer of The Walking Dead, which basically is one of the biggest shows on TV and has that influence on pop culture and culture today. I mean, you know, not only with Walking Dead, they've had Saga, which is like a Star Wars type of theme, which I recommend people read if they haven't read it. There's a whole bunch of other ones that smaller other titles that Image has put out that are great stories to read, but definitely Image Comics has been the driving force behind comics recently, and I think some people can make the argument that even they've taken over and actually the top dog in the industry if you read some of their titles and just some of their monthly sales comic wise and there's also some other smaller titles that have come out, like I think Albatross, there's some Dark Horse has also produced Hellboy, which is also another comic character that the movie's been spun out of. So there's a lot of these smaller publishers that not many people have heard of, but actually have influence or we might have seen a TV show or a TV based on their story.
So I want to talk about style for just a second. Now, in comic book world, there's different styles. Of course, some of them that I know of anyway, of course, is the DC and Marvel type of comics, but there's also the anime type of comics where, you know, the Japanese have really created that over the period of decades. Do you see any of that influence from the Japanese anime into the comics, like by DC and by Marvel?
They did do some sort of like Spider-Man manga before and some other things with a Marvel influence with some Japanese storylines, but I think you're starting to see the movies come over. I mean, you had a Ghost in the Shell, which is a recent, it was a Japanese comic book or done by Dark Horse, but that was a movie with Scarlett Johansson. And so, you know, you're starting to see some of that crossover into mainstream media and into just regular everyday books and titles.
So I know this has been a wide-ranging interview, and I want to really thank you very much, Chico, for coming on to the studio here at Superfly Oz Studio to talk about the comic book world and give us a little bit more of an insight from it. So thank you very much for coming on by. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Stan.
So that was Francisco Figueredo, dealer and seller of comic books here in the state of Hawaii. I want to thank him very much for coming on the Superfly Oz podcast and explaining to us about the impact of comics and the impact of it at a sociological level, as well as it is at more the industry level in the comic book realm. I think that it's very important that we understand that sometimes politics is just one factor of the development of a society around the world. And I believe that comics, especially if you're going to Asia, is a very big deal when it comes to sociological development in the Asian realm, because a lot of people read the comics, and it's not just kids, it's adults, it's a wide range of subjects. It's not only just entertainment for entertainment purposes, it's actually informational too. And as well as it blends in very much into the realm of advertising, it blends into messaging, it blends into a lot of things. And it's just very interesting to see how comics and that industry really does play a role in our societies today around the world. By the way, if you are interested in buying back your childhood, as Chico first mentioned in the interview, go ahead and email me at sjfhawaii@gmail.com. I'll go ahead and get you that information and connect you up, and perhaps you might be able to buy back your childhood from Chico. That's going to do it for us on December 1st, 2018, ladies and gentlemen, for the Superfly Oz podcast number 74. I want to thank you very much once again for listening in. Again, if you have any feedback, sjfhawaii@gmail.com. You want to listen to any of the older episodes, politicshawaii.com. You can find me on Twitter at politicshi. You can find me on Facebook, Stan Fitchman, as well as just see me on the streets here in downtown Honolulu, state of Hawaii, United States of America. This is the Superfly Oz podcast. See you next week, folks.